And then he's just the media darling. He's on the cover of all the magazines. I should have been on the cover of Wired magazine. You know what he said? He said he named it Napster because of, it was his nickname, because of the nappy hair under the hat. But he, it's because I was napping when he stole it from me. He didn't even graduate.
I think it's time to move on, don't you? They shut him down. I wish they'd do the same to you.
I want to win the games until he dies playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want to win the game until he dies playing.
I can't play these video games.
Games for entertainment radio.
And we're back! Did you see that Saturday Night Live ode with that skit?
Saturday Night Live? What?
Saturday Night Live did a skit about radio people one day, and they were making, because they kept saying, and we're back! I thought it was pretty funny. Anyway, this is episode 46 of Games and More Entertainment Radio. I'm C4.
I'm Kobar.
And this is Ode.
This is Ode. Who needs the, could you pick up the volume just a little bit?
Sure.
All right, there we go. Now we're talking. All right. And the first thing we got to mention, because I'm sure everybody's noticed right away, is the new sites got put up.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Have you seen it yet, Ode?
Yeah, I was really impressed. I like how you used your logo with basically everything in the site.
I know, huh? It was really, really well done.
Yeah, you put some time into that.
God, I can't imagine how much time was put into that. It is so... It, you know what the word for it is? Slick.
Slick.
Everybody who saw it said, this is slick. So it must be. It's, I mean, the five people that saw it while it was being worked on, everybody said, this is slick. It's awesome. It's just fantastic. And if you want to see the guy who did it, his website, it's fredline.com, FREDLINE.com. He's got a whole bunch of other things that he's done up there. You can take a look at his other works and stuff. It's just fantastic what he can do. He's like a genius with this sort of stuff. I mean, I'm blown away. And it's the best part is for my retarded ass, it's really easy to work with. I can actually do the things I need to do with it, which was one of my concerns before, because, you know, I don't work with any of this web stuff at all. So, you know, I'm kind of skittish about it, and that's why the site was, you know, fairly simplistic before. It was, not only was it fast, but it was, you know, easy to manage for somebody like me who just doesn't, you know, have all these lead skills, you know. Okay, we wanted to talk about, you know, the other games of E3. The last show that we did was just fantastic with Ode's entire, you know, review of the E3 show and everything that you went and saw. And there was a whole lot of, I mean, there's tons of games this year, just a bunch of really cool stuff that didn't get mentioned last time. I mean, you know, we have limited time, we can't record all day. As cool as that would be, it just doesn't happen. So we have, you know, a monster list of the games that were at the show that didn't get mentioned before, and some stuff I've been really looking forward to, and I hope a lot of other people have too. But first, we got an email from Mock the Magic Man, and apparently he went to E3 also. You guys might have even crossed paths. He talks about quite a few games here. Let me just start from the top. First thing he mentions is the Sony PSP. The Sony handheld PSP, very impressed. Like yourself, I was skeptical, but after seeing it in action, I was left with my mouth hanging open. This system is going to own over the Nintendo DS and all other handhelds when it is released. I talked with a representative at Sony, and they said that the battery life... Now, this is a big concern, I think, for everybody with, oh, yeah, you know, when you talk about the PSP. Because, I mean, what they're telling us is we've got, like, a supercomputer in a keychain size thing here, you know? And let's see, the battery life would be about 10 hours for the games, but only about 2 hours while running a high-quality DVD movie like Spider-Man. I guess it takes more power to run them. Weird, huh? Which, Kobar solved.
Well, you gotta figure that when you're playing a game, this thing's only spinning and reading the disc every so often when it needs to read it, to load something up. When you're watching a movie, it's reading it constantly, so that drive is constantly going and sucking up power.
Yeah, that's all mechanical power where it's taking that. That's got to be where it's getting, why the time drops from 10 hours to 2 hours. And 10 hours is not bad at all. I mean, that's what probably most people get on a Game Boy Advance. With the light on all the time, it's about 10 hours. So, I mean, Sony's going to give them a hell of a run for their money then.
I would be interesting to see just how available these movies are going to be, though, because they're little discs. They're not DVDs.
Yeah, I don't know.
So they have to be specific PC, PSP movies.
Yeah, I mean, are they going to have to re-release a whole line of movies? I mean...
The question is, how expensive are they going to be?
Or
how
like an add-on for it, maybe, yeah. Like a DVD, you know.
That could be.
Yeah, that's something I haven't seen yet. Oh, did you see anything like that down there?
No, I didn't.
No,
I
like...
A whole lot of time in Sony's booth either, though. I did see... The only thing I saw the PlayStation Portables, they had a few mounted up on walls.
Yeah.
And it looked like they just stuck LCD screens with, like, what looked like a PSP backing. And just had like a movie playing on it. It looked that good. So they could have been legitimate PlayStation portables that were just playing a movie.
Huh.
But they weren't movies. They were just like a promo clip.
Oh, I see.
And or they could have just been little LCD screens they just mounted there. So I'm not sure. I got mixed things because I heard a lot of people say, "Oh, what PlayStation portable?" I never saw it at the show, and I didn't see one either. I was specifically looking around to go check it out, and I never saw it in action.
Well, there must have been some games running there, because there was video, you know, that came out of E3 that shows the PlayStation Portable running quite a few games, and Mach does mention a few of them. Twisted Metal and Metal Gear, what do they call it? Metal Gear Acid, I think, was the name of it. He said the games that were running, those two games at least, looked crisp, colorful, and detailed on the nice dollar bill size screen that the PlayStation Portable has. That's larger than I would think, though. It looks like way small, like... Yeah, half the size of a dollar bill, looks like. I'm not quite so sure, but...
Yeah, there's no way.
I mean, I know it's not...
It doesn't seem as long. I mean, the whole thing looks like it's about the size of a dollar bill.
Well, we know how big it is. It's as big as a Game Boy Advance, the original ones. We've seen it. Side by side, it's almost the exact same size, so... let's see. And he goes on to say, you can safely say this thing has the power of a PlayStation 2. That's a bold statement there. That's amazing. If Sony can really deliver... The PSP controls feel nice in your hand, and it even has a second little analog stick and a neat clear left and right shoulder buttons. Let's see, there's even a slot for flashcards to run your MP3 music. Ah, right there, that's the thing that'll get hacked, that everybody's going to be able to play movies on and pirated, you know, ROMs and shit.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it's going to be done, right there. They're not going to worry with the disc system when we've got something pretty easily workable as it is. Let's see, and this system will be the must-have gadget toy when it comes out. Sony really did their homework on this one, and it shows. Take note, N-Gage, estimated at 250 bones, and it will be released first quarter of 2005.
I actually got a close look at the new N-Gage.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I got to play a few games on that. They fixed a lot of the problems with the old N-Gage.
You don't talk into the side anymore?
What'd you say?
Do you talk into the side still?
Talk to the side.
Did you ever see how you spoke into the N-Gage before?
Oh yeah, no, they fixed that. It's they moved the mic. I think they fixed that, but they did fix a lot of the other problems. Like you don't have to take the battery out to insert the games anymore.
That's good. Oh.
You don't have to change the chips out. You don't have to. There's a lot of things you don't have to do anymore.
Uh huh.
But I tried to play a game on it, and just the way they set up the screen, they chose the vertical screen instead of a horizontal screen.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I tried to play this driving game on it, and it was so frustrating, it wasn't even fun.
Yeah, screw that. You know what, down here in his email, he does mention the N-Gage, and I'll just skip ahead to it since we're talking about it. He says, N-Gage is lame, even with the new design. Yes, you can now load a game without taking out the battery, but the frame rates and graphics still look like ass. Whatever, the PSP will destroy it for sure. Yeah, it sounds like Sony's really got themselves a winner here. And, you know, they're going to be going up against the Game Boy Advance, which is already huge, and the Nintendo DS, which he talks about here. The Nintendo handheld DS reminds me of the old Nintendo dual-screen Game & Watch Donkey Kong. Did I just age myself? No, because we all remember that, too. Metroid and Mario looks fun, but it seemed like a bit of a waste to have two screens and use the stylus pen to move around. The second screen was mainly used for an overhead map in the games. It seemed a bit weird for my taste. I will have to wait and see on that one. The new Link game on the Cube looked sweet, and I can swear that was Conan the Barbarian music that was playing during the demo movie. Finally, an adult Link game that we've been waiting for. Yay. Yeah, I didn't know it ran into Link in there, but yeah, the DS, man, I can really see how cool it would be if you had like an old school RPG on like the bottom screen, or it doesn't matter, one of the two screens, and yet maybe like an overhead view still on the top. Mm-hmm. And then when you're in combat, maybe your inventory. You know, I mean, it could be really handy, but, like, how many games are they going to use that for, you know?
They can really use a lot of creative things with that second screen. It just all depends on how creative the developers want to be.
Yeah, so we'll see. I don't know. It still sounds too gimmicky to me. Like a last-ditch run for something. Oh, yeah, this is much cooler than a PlayStation 2 portable machine. Yeah, right, whatever, Nintendo.
But a lot of the connectivity to the Game Boy and the
GameCube
is real gimmicky, too.
That's
a lot
true.
Of it is useless.
Exactly.
The DS also has built-in Bluetooth, and it also has a more advanced processor, supposedly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they said it's just underpowered Nintendo 64, I think, was the specs I was reading. Just shy of a Nintendo 64, which is quite a bit of power for a portable machine, but look at the power of a PlayStation 2 in a portable machine, and they're going to be coming out, I imagine, relatively close. Mm-hmm. Nintendo's going to get stomped on.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, why do you need the power of a PlayStation 2 in a portable machine? A PlayStation 1 would be enough power.
Oh, I know. I thought of this, too, and all I can come up with is that they're trying to really push the graphics of the games. I mean, you don't need... on a portable system, you can get away with playing something like Dragon Warrior 7 just fine. You would love every single friggin' minute of it. You can play Lunar in full CD glory on this thing just fine, but you wouldn't need more than the power of PlayStation 1. You're not going to be playing something like Metroid Prime on a handheld, something that requires, just insane horsepower.
But the DS had a Metroid Prime-like game, and it even looks like Metroid Prime does.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Because their first hurdle is going to be getting a solid Mario game on there. They're going to try to land a Mario 64 kind of game on that. And we're going to see how that does. Now, I mean, you said you saw a video of it before and it didn't look so hot.
Now, the resolution is kind of choppy. The clipping plane is real short.
Now, see, how can you do Mario 64, a Nintendo 64 game, on something less powerful than Nintendo 64? You got to throw shit out. Mm-hmm. You got to throw out the ability to, swing the camera 150 miles back so you can see the entire level. You gotta take out some of the detailed textures. You gotta, reduce the polygon count. And it's not the same game anymore. Now, we're not aiming for the same game. We're aiming for something just as fun. But, I don't know if they're trying... People are gonna compare it to that, no matter what. They're gonna...
Right.
Especially with them saying... The video that's out there, everybody... It says Mario 64 X4 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, right away, they're aiming for that. And if they can't deliver, close to or exactly the Nintendo 64 Mario 64 game, they're gonna bury themselves.
I'd like to throw something in here. I mean, I for the most part, I do agree with you guys about the PlayStation Portable being more likely the most dominant candidate for the portable market.
This is if all this is true.
Yeah.
but I want to say something. Nintendo has a long history of producing innovative and fun games, and having a second screen, and that's a touch screen too. And having, built-in Bluetooth and having 3D capability in a portable platform. I mean, hell, we sit around and play our Game Boy Advances right now without any real true 3D capability. And with, advancing to a platform that will have 3D capability so we can play 3D games on it. And at the same time will also allow us to, I think Nintendo's gonna win out on the games, in all honesty.
Well, they also have the Game Boy Advance library able to play on, and I don't know about the original Game Boys, they're gonna play on the DS, so that right there gives them a huge base of games, for one, but, I mean, I would love to see Nintendo do well on this, but I just don't see it happening for some reason. People, it may be neat, it's fantastic, wow, we got two screens, but do people want it?
It rests on the shoulders of the developers. If the developers can use that second screen in a way that is really cool and really beneficial to the gamer...
Yeah, it's got to be useful, and it's got to be, easy. It's got to be seamless. I would think that looking between the screens, this is, like your eyes would refocus at the point where you hit, the end of the one screen and before the beginning of the other screen. Like, your eyes would try to readjust,
mm-hmm.
Let's take it from another perspective. Say you're a developer right now, and you want to develop for the DS. What would you do with that second screen? Can you think of any use for it?
Well, yeah, if you're playing, let's say, a football game, you could be playing in first-person view, and you could have an overhead view of the field. If you're playing, or when you're making your selection of your play, you could still show the field and have another screen show your play. You could show, player stats on there. The first thing that comes to my mind is a role-playing game using one for, your equipment screen, which you're always in, it seems like, when you're changing, hold on, I gotta get my different sword out. Yeah, a map. You could use it for all these wonderful things, but whether or not they actually, make it work well, is the question. And you know what I think would be cool is a pinball game. Because you could give the idea of a long pinball table would be really cool. But again, what would happen when you see the ball hit the bottom of the top screen and go to the bottom, you would have to shift your eyes quite a bit down. I'm sure you would.
These screens are really close together.
Well, still, I don't know. I mean, we'll see, I guess. We're going to find out, but...
I mean, I'll agree that the PlayStation Portable is probably the most likely candidate, but I'm just saying, don't sell it Nintendo yet, because I think that, you know, with the dual-screen approach, they're actually saying, okay, well, let's get to another generation of gaming, and, you know, Sony comes out saying, oh, let's make this thing more gimmicky.
Well, you know, hey, more power to Nintendo, and, you know, we all agree that Nintendo, you know, they constantly bring the new stuff, you know, innovation to the table. They always bring the, you know, the wackiest games that you think can't work, and they do. They turn out being just insanely fun, and that's what it's really all about. You know, and personally, I could picture myself picking up a DS before a PSP right now. If they were both out right now, I would say to myself, you know, as bad as it would, you know, I would like to play something like, you know, Metal Gear Solid on a portable machine, you know, that being the PSP. I think that a DS would be cooler because I've already got games for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got games for it already. I know Nintendo's going to come out with some games that I'm going to want in the future. Sony's not changing the way their games are. There's still a bunch of them and a lot of crap. That doesn't fly with me. You know?
Yeah, we both still love Nintendo as a company much more than Sony.
You know, yeah, I don't doubt they're going to do really well. I just think that the PSP is going to own them. I hate to say it, but Sony has this... They've established themselves as... the gaming company. This is what people think of these days, unfortunately, you know, when they think of games. They think of PlayStation. They don't call it playing Nintendo like they used to do. I'm playing PlayStation.
Mm.
You know, I'm going to go home and PlayStation today. You know, you hear it all the time. This is what people think of.
It's a verb now.
You know, exactly. And it's just that they've established themselves so well that Nintendo's, you know, hanging on to a thread, you know. Now, granted, I think this E3, they did so much amazing stuff that I think some eyes are going to be turning over to them,
right.
You know.
Everywhere you look, everybody's saying Nintendo just totally
stole the show, yeah, which I like to hear. But let's move on. StarCraft Ghost, another game that, you know, we definitely are interested in. Everybody I know just thinks this is really cool. Mott goes on to say, this is like Splinter Cell meets 007, full of gadgets. You already went over that in your last show, so I won't get into it. I'll just say that it'll be worth a 2-year wait for it. Very cool game. Oh, yes, there is a nuke strike as well. Hell yeah, baby. I saw Ghost take out a really huge Starship Troopers-type bugs with it. Awesome.
That is
nice. I've been dying to know if there was nuke strike in that. That is fat. Now, here's one that he really goes off on, because all these are really kind of short, except for Gods of War or something, which we'll get into in a minute. And this one, Star Wars Battlefront. This is coming out for the PC, PlayStation 2, and Xbox. And he said, oh my god, what a blast. Battlefield? Now, you know Battlefield 1942?
Yeah.
Okay. Battlefield meets Star Wars. This online multiplayer game will be huge. There is nothing like jumping into a snowspeeder, and with the help of a rear tow cable gunner to take out a huge AT-AT walkers attacking the shield generators. Remember...
I missed that.
Yeah. Now, did you guys ever play the one on the Nintendo 64?
Yeah.
Even that was that first one where you're flying whatever the hell that ship is, and I'm sure I'm going to get an email from Star Wars fanatics telling me it's a...
snowspeeder.
No. That's a plane?
Yeah. It's not really a plane because it can only go so high off the ground.
Oh, okay. I always thought it was like a plane because I thought I remember it going pretty high. But and you ran the tow cable around That was that? Okay, well. All right, okay. Remember, it takes 3 passes. And if you don't have a rear gunner, you can switch between pilot and tow cable gunner on the fly with the push of a button. You can also use the Rebel's turret to shoot the AT-ATs or AT-STs. Walkers even have weak points at the neck that you can shoot at. I even tried the Empire site on the Hoth map that controlled an AT-AT walker with 5 other gunners. Where does it say? He says head, to shoot down the snowspeeders and ground troops. On the Empire site, whoa, you can play on both sides?
That's cool.
That is
like Battlefield 1942.
Well, yeah, I guess if it's like, you know, a team-based game. On the Empire side, I guess that makes sense. On the Empire side, they can use the walkers as spawn points, so if you have an AT-AT near the base, that is bad. Everyone can spawn from there and overtake the base. Very fun stuff to be had. Every vehicle controlled very easily and was a blast to use. There were always plenty of snowspeeders and tauntauns around for use for quick travel. There's even a fox trench for the rebel troops to shoot from, just like the movie. The Endor map, or planet, had some fun hover bikes to run over rebels with. I feel funny shooting a cute Ewok in the head, though. Is that wrong? The AT-STs were good at taking out troops as well. Thank God you can have four different character classes, one of which with a rocket launcher to take them out. You can even be a spy and just look like the enemy, and your headset will also switch to the enemy side, so you can mess them up with verbal commands. You can call in air laser strikes from Star Destroyers to take out ground vehicles and troops. Can't wait for this one. Battlefield should be shaking in their combat boots when this one comes out.
Well, Battlefield had a new one. They were coming out with as well.
Yeah, Battlefield 2. I was planning on mentioning that next show. Did they have that at E3?
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. Yeah, they had a scene where you're on a bomber doing a bomber run.
Nice.
And like you could walk around the bomber, the inside of the bomber. And you walk up to the gun, like pop into the turret, and it looked incredible.
Yeah, one of the things about Battlefield was always how cool it was to be able to jump into all these different, you know, vehicles and whatnot. There is another, the Battlefield 2, I saw a lot of information, so I wanted to skip it here because there was like too much information. We would have to do like a whole, like rather large thing on it, so it must be fairly close or something. But everybody's all hyped up about that. He actually gives us a URL to the trailer for the this Battlefront game. It's www.lucasarts.com/game/SW Battlefront. And there's a trailer there you can check out. Now, this one, I really don't understand. God of War. Did you see this for the PlayStation 2?
I think I did. I'm trying to think. No, it sounds familiar.
Okay, well, let's see what he has to say, because I have something to say about this, too. This was the one that we looked at just a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. This game will be huge. Okay, well, he said it's a PlayStation 2 game that looks like an Xbox game. This game will be huge. This game was my favorite platform adventure action game at the show, and is very similar to Devil May Cry on the PS2. The attacks were fun, bloody, and full of giblets everywhere. Super smooth animation and killer sound as well. The monsters were detailed, one of which stood out was Medusa. She looks just like you remember her from Clash of the Titans. You can even rip Medusa's head from her shoulders and use it to turn everyone to stone, just like in Clash of the Titans movie. There's another great sequence where you fight a giant troll-like one from Lord of the Rings. The best part is being able to do a finishing move by punching him in the balls, sliding between his legs, jumping onto his shoulders and sticking your knives into him, jumping onto his shoulders and sticking your knives into its eyes with blood gushing out. They even show you what buttons to press at what time to perform the finishing move. You just have to be fast. This is another must-have title. Now, we looked at this, like, screenshots for it, and it looked like complete ass.
Oh, yeah, the
graphics were insanely bad.
It was all blocky.
Very blocky. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it must have some... I mean, okay, that sounds cool and all, but...
Maybe they were just really poor screenshots.
They must have been pretty bad. But those weren't... The problem wasn't the low-quality screenshots, though. I mean, it was flat, low-polygon models. I mean, it just didn't look good at all. There were some decent-looking scenes, but then it's like for every decent-looking scene, there was two that looked like crap.
Yeah.
I don't see... And to say it looks like an Xbox game really blew my mind when we went and looked up screenshots for this, because it looks like crap. I've never seen an Xbox game
look that bad.
It
looks like a PlayStation game.
Exactly. It looks like a PS1 game. It really looks that bad. With smoother textures, I guess. Halo 2 for the Xbox. Closed for the General Joe. I guess this was behind closed doors. Only for cool people that have clout or media passes. Guess that's not me. I talked with Tina Wood of G4TV.com and asked if she saw it yet, and she gave me an earful about how cool it was to see him play. He was jealous. Weird that Microsoft hid it this year. Maybe they didn't want to distract from their current game lineup that they were showing. Oh well. Now, I haven't seen a whole lot much of it either. I've seen the one video that's out floating around the internet of it, and it looks just like Halo with a little bit better, higher polygon models. Whatever, Halo was pretty fun, but it wasn't the end-all, be-all game that I think the entire world wanted it to be, or at least Microsoft marketed it to be.
Well, here's the issue. They're making a sequel to the same console. Usually, you know, in the gaming market, we're used to sequels blowing away the original because of this new technology. They use higher polygon counts because, they're for a more advanced system.
Well, we're getting that. I mean, these are, you know, higher... They're upping everything here. I just don't see it being... Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen too much about it. All I've seen is... Chief get into some kind of a mounted turret thing and mow down some of those little tiny guys. That's it. I don't know. The best thing I've seen come out of Halo, red versus blue. So I don't know. This is going to be great for them. You know, the show will look a little better. I mean, it looks fine now, but, you know, it'll look better. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, that, if you ask me, that's a must-buy, though, because I know this game is going to be fun. I know that Halo 2 is going to be a fun game, and I never get too into the multiplayer, they better have it Xbox Live. I'm sure it's going to be able to play it online, but I don't know if that's going to be my cup of tea either. But the single player, the first one, was a blast. And, I mean, the story was good enough that I'm really looking forward to playing the second one, but Microsoft needs a whole host of other crap, you know, to bring people to the Xbox. Oh, I was trying to skip ones that he talked about, but I missed this one because I actually wrote this one down, specifically wanted to single it out. Burnout 3. You know this, Ode?
No.
This is, it's like a racing game, a car racing game, but it's like a huge focus on crashing. Burnout 2 just came out, you know, quite a little bit ago, maybe a couple months ago, and it was just a blast to play. It was just fantastic. I guess Burnout 3 was there for PS2 and Xbox. Burnout 3 was incredible, and the crash effects were unbelievable. No longer would you do barrel roll and still have a perfect car frame. The crashes, sparks, and wreck effects were really fun to see. The speed was intense. I didn't even mind crashing. Hard to believe this was an online PS2 game running so fast. The game was a bit like Need for Speed Underground, but during the day and better crashes.
So wait a second. Didn't I hear that it's licensed cars, though?
No. There's 70 cars and no licensed cars as of yet.
Okay.
Yeah. And from what I got written down here, it looks like there's going to be 6 players online at a time, I guess, in each map, for the Xbox and PS2 versions of it. And they're going to have, like, slow-mo in single-player mode. You can, like, slow-motion replay the wrecks and stuff, because that game is all about the crashing and, you know, the just insanity. But the graphics of it just look spectacular. Just looking at the graphics even gave me the feeling that we were actually going pretty fast.
Mm.
It was weird. I was just looking at it going, oh, I gotta play this game. So, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to Burnout 3. And another one I really have been dying to play. Outrun 2 for the Xbox. Did you guys ever play Outrun as young toddling gamers?
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't think so.
Really? You never played Outrun?
Maybe.
Holy cow. The dude in the Ferrari with the chick, and you can go 2 different ways at the end of the map, like at the end of the course, and you had to pick a different way you could get to wherever the hell you were going.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
That game just was some sick shit back in the day. In fact, that was the game that really, I think, got me hooked on gaming. When I was a little tot. Because, I mean, I had my Atari 2600, right? And I played the crap out of it, but I never... Gaming was always just like a loose hobby of mine, something to kill the time. I still played with action figures and my He-Man and Transformers and whatnot. You know, I was still all into Army Men and all that crap, and I still did a lot of it. Still, you know, played some, you know, 2600 games an awful lot. We got a Sega Master System for Christmas one year, I think. And Outrun, I think, was one of the first... We had like 4 games or something right away. And we would play Outrun, and my stepdad and my sister were really good at it, and I was terrible at it. And it blew my mind. It really, like tore me up to be so bad at a game, to see them being so good. And I didn't know why. You know, I had to be, like, 6 or 7 years old, I think, at that point in time when we got a Sega Master System. I'm not sure. But I was pretty young, and I remember, I couldn't beat the first level. And I was, like, afraid to go into high gear. I was always driving in the low gear, so I'd never get above, like, 70 miles an hour or however fast you could go. My sister and my stepdad would play every now and again. They could always get to, like, the third level. One night, I had a dream that I was playing Outrun and that I had beaten the game. Right? Now, I've never been past, like, I could get to the second level once in a while if I had a perfect run to the first level, you know, like, because I only rode in first gear. And I dreamt that I had beaten the game. And in the end of the game... The car, like, slid sideways, and there was, like, people taking pictures of me and shit, and there was, like, these 2 poles with a finish sign above the top, and it just blew my mind. And I woke up early that morning, didn't know what the hell was going on, I was, like, tripping out, but I had to get down and play some Outrun, you know? Because it was, like, a Saturday morning. I remember this like it was yesterday, because I think about it a lot for some reason. I went downstairs, nobody's awake in the house, I fire up Outrun, and in that first run, I went through and beat that game. Just like that. Boom. Never been past the second level.
Nice.
And there was only like maybe 5 or 6 levels, I want to say, to get to the end. And you can go whatever path you wanted, right? But I'd never even seen these levels before. And I was like, I was possessed by some gaming god. It was just the most incredible thing that ever happened to me. And then when I got to the end of it, it was almost just like in the dream. And I'd never seen this before. Never. There was the poles, and the car turns to the side. There was a few differences, like the crowd would come rushing out, but like in my dream, I remember people taking pictures and stuff, and there was a big finish line at the end, and like it reminded me so much of the dream I had. It was almost just like it. It freaked me out. Since that moment, I've been, like, that's it. My entire life has been possessed of gaming. It really kind of freaked me out. But that's the story right there. That's how it all happened. Seriously. You know? All right, I'll move on now. You guys are giving me weird looks, so fuck you guys. Outrun 2 for the Xbox. Another fun classic arcade revamp game with arcade-style controls. Blast to play with different track routes. Another must-have, definitely. This is a no-question buying game for me right here. I'm going to run out day one. I think I'll probably pick this up. Oh boy. Phantom. He wants to talk about the Phantom. New PC-type platform, kind of console-y, sits in the living room. It had a really lame Flash web-type interface. Yeah, have you seen this? Have either of you guys seen the interface for this thing?
No.
Yeah, it was pretty weak.
Yeah, I've seen it online. They had video of the actual thing running, and it felt like a Flash animation when you're watching it.
I thought of person. It was pretty weak.
Was it pretty weak? Yeah. I don't know. I'm not too excited about this thing. I don't think too many people are.
Did they not learn from DivX?
I don't know. Here, well, he talked a little bit about some of the things they're going to do, too. Yeah, here we go. Okay. Oh, God damn it. Okay, wait. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, they showed the interface, and only a few features and a few games, like Unreal Tournament 2004, were shown. Not too impressed. I will not pay $200 for the system and a $50 monthly fee to run this thing.
No.
I will play Unreal Tournament 2004 on my PC for free every month. Hell yes. Okay, thanks. Engage. Oh, wait, we did the Engage. Destroy all humans. Okay, this is one I wanted to mention, but I didn't get a chance to read a whole lot about it.
Oh, yeah, that one.
This is what I'm talking about. Literally.
Yeah, yeah.
This actually looks really cool.
Yeah, no, I checked it out. It looked great.
What
yeah.
What the hell is it?
You're an alien.
That does okay, what?
And you go to planet Earth. They send you to planet Earth, and your mission is to just basically kill everybody.
It's called Destroy All Humans.
Yeah, and it's but it's like you're like this cute looking alien, right?
Nice.
And they have all this stuff going on. It's cool. It's like Go Postal meets like
Expendable.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I didn't play the game. I watched it. Like they had a thing of it going, like a movie.
Yeah.
Describing the game, going over different aspects of it. I was watching, and like. I remember I was there with Don, and he was going like, "Wow, that's really cool."
It looked really neat from all the screenshots I saw. And the only thing I could come up with as a comparison was Expendable. Like, think of like Contra, but like more with a Smash TV view to it. Well, like the new Contra, Neo Contra's going to be. It kind of reminded me of that, which is like Expendable. I don't know why, but it looked really cool. Let's see, he goes, Destroy All Humans demo movie was just awful and needs a major revamp work. I hope this one isn't shipped anytime soon because it was bad. It was the first time I ever wanted to walk out of a demo theater. I still sat and twitched all the way through. Think of a low-paced Grand Theft Auto with Mars attacks theme. Puzzle game with same five people character models walking around the city. You go around reading minds. More lame puzzles and shooting people. The death rate and death animations were terrible. I say back to the drawing board with this one. But from everything I saw, it looked so cool. So it must just be that bad, though, if you're actually watching it. But I thought it looked spectacular from the screenshot.
I didn't go into the theater for it. Like, they did a lot of closed-door stuff, which you can wait in line for, and it was like, I don't want to wait in line for anything. So.
Yeah, see, I want to wait in line. I want to stand there in anticipation, you know?
Yeah.
I want to be waiting for that. I want to see all this crazy shit one of these days. But I don't know. That's too bad because I thought it looked really, really good when I saw it. Now, granted, I'm sure they're taking the best of the screenshots.
Right.
But I thought it looked damn cool. But, I mean, if he's seen video, that's way more than I'll get out of a screenshot. So I'm going to have to take his word for it at this point and just hold off on that until I get my hands on a demo. Hopefully they'll put a demo on the Xbox magazine CD one of these days. Devil May Cry 3 looked awesome. Yes, they listened to our complaints about the last Devil May Cry. That would be Devil May Cry 2.
Right.
For those of you not following. And fixed them. A new team and famous Japanese director are handling this one and the quality shows. Now the game has better graphics like the first Devil May Cry and many destroyable objects while you fight, and the camera isn't super far away like the game Robotron. Whoops, aged myself again. I like the bar fight level with all the bottles and chairs breaking everywhere. The game was very challenging as well. No longer can you just pick off the enemies one by one with your blazing guns without having to engage in a hand-to-hand swordplay. Combo is key. This now feels like a true Devil May Cry sequel. The monster's effects, movie intros, and gameplay have the polish that Devil May Cry 2 really lacked. Keep your eye on this game for sure. Now, I was never a big fan of them, so whatever, but I heard just insanely spectacular things about the first one.
The first one was a lot of fun. I never played the second one because I couldn't handle what I was hearing about it. I didn't even bother.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just not my type of game anyway. I can't handle most of those platformers, so I have to pass, but still sounds pretty good. And for Devil May Cry fans, this is good, you know, for us to get it out. Even though I may not like it, fans of it are going to be excited to hear this, you know. They're going to get the game they wanted, like everybody in the world and the new Zelda.
Right.
Spider-Man 2, PC, PlayStation 2, Xbox. I was looking forward to playing this one, but all they showed was a demo movie. Too bad. They did have some movie props from the film. That's too bad. Of course, I still want to see the movie so bad anyway. I'm going to take that first. And Prince of Persia 2. Looked like they took the Jack 2 road and made it a lot darker and adult themed. When you kill people, they aren't made of sand. I think I saw blood gush out. Yeah, and the new cut spit down the middle, a.k.a. Blade 2, was cool. Oh, wow. See, wish they had more levels to show at E3. Prince of Persia looked very early in development. But we know that should, as long as they don't tweak too much stuff, that should be a fantastic, probably one of those must-buy games.
I read that they are going to lighten up the puzzle and for more battles. Uh-huh. They're going to give a little more to the
battle system. Not Prince of Persia.
So, yeah, exactly. So it's not Prince of Persia.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens there. Let's see. All in all, E3 was a blast. It looks like they have some nice things to look forward to in 2004, 2005 for upcoming games and hardware. Keep your eye on that PlayStation Portable. It will be the SPDSNH killer when it is released. Wow, that was really cool. We got another insight on E3 from somebody who actually went. That is awesome. I really dig that. Stuff that you don't read anywhere else, you know?
Yes.
I mean, this is straight from somebody who went, that we didn't have to go read in a magazine or on some website or whatever. That was really cool. We're already 36 minutes into the show, and I know you said something about you having to leave after probably a half an hour. How are you doing on time?
I'm good for now. I'll probably just stay another 10 minutes or so.
Another 10 minutes? All right. Let's see. Burnout Killer 7. Now, this was the one that was on the GameCube that I could swear to God I saw got cut.
I don't know what's going on with this game. I saw a movie for it, and I have no idea whether I liked it or not.
See, I thought it looked pretty cool. Did you see anything on this, Ode, while you were down there?
Which game?
It's called Killer 7.
No, I didn't.
See, I was reading about it before, and it didn't look very cool at all, but I'll tell you right now, screenshots do not do this game justice. Everything I saw before was simply screenshots, and it looked retarded. But watching that movie looked really cool when it actually shows how some of the combat works and some of the action scenes and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Some of the storyline, you know, they give there, some of the, they introduce all the characters and whatnot. Kevin Smith is one of the characters.
It looks like there's seven characters and their last name is Smith.
Smith, yeah. Even the weird one. What was that strange one? Masked Smith.
Masked Smith.
Yeah.
They had a Matrix online booth, and the Matrix online booth had a bunch of stand-up models of Agent Smith, you know?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But the game looked pretty weak.
But I thought they canceled that.
I
heard that was just canceled. Of course, I could swear that I heard the Killer 7 was pulled from the GameCube, and we just watched a damn movie of it on the GameCube. And if I remember right, it was mentioned at E3 because I heard about it somewhere else, too. But, so
all I know is they did have a booth that was for Matrix Online. So.
Yeah, huh. Well, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to surprise us by telling all this crap is...
In my opinion, they probably should pull it. I mean...
Yeah,
the Matrix,
I think so too.
Is dead.
It's over now.
Let it rest.
Yank the game and, you know, cut your losses. But I don't know. I really, really highly recommend tracking down the video. Any video.
There's no Matrix.
Any video you can see. This is, you know, see, they want us to disbelieve. They want us to forget about it and go back to our normal life of being a battery. out of sight, out of mind, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
I absolutely. Request that everybody go find a video of Killer 7. Because I looked at screenshots and it looked horrible. But then I saw a video and it looked really fun. So,
I don't know. It does look interesting. That,
but whatever the hell
sure.
It's about, I don't know. Whatever the hell you do, I'm not sure. And it looks like you shoot a lot of people, which is always fun, you know.
The characters seem to have a little blockiness to them, but it almost seems like it was supposed to be.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely supposed to be. It's cel-shaded for anybody who doesn't know. You know, I was really blown away by watching the video, but couldn't stand screenshots I saw, you know, up until today when I was just floored. And one of the bigger games I heard mentioned at E3 was Splinter Cell 3. Now, this, I know, is one that everybody's got to be waiting for because Splinter Cell is just huge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, I have a soda.
No, nothing.
Oh, thank God. All this talking. Yeah, Splinter Cell 3. Did you see that down there?
Yeah, it looks great. It looks just like the other ones, so it didn't look any different. I didn't play the other ones. It was a big issue. I didn't have anywhere to go from, but I looked at it. It was like, okay, it looks like all the movies that I saw of the other two.
Yeah, it does. It looks exactly the same video. Or, yeah, same kind of game. But what I did hear about it, though, was it's much more brutal. Like, Metal Gear Solid, how the guy, you know, he snaps everybody's necks. I guess you can do that. Now, I guess in the other ones, you couldn't do that, even to shoot people. They're going to, the hands-on approach, I guess. They're going to add a cooperative mode also, which would be kind of neat, I guess, running around, you know, storming some, whatever the hell you storm in there.
It's always nice to be able to play cooperative mode in the game.
Definitely. So I think the big additions aren't so much that, the new game itself as the reason why it's so hot is because of the new things they added, mainly the cooperative multiplayer. Resident Evil 4. Now, I don't understand this one bit. It just took awards everywhere.
Yeah.
Remember when I was sitting there, I was walking by the Nintendo booth, and there was the most gorgeous woman I'd ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
Just sitting there staring at one of the other booth babes play Resident Evil 4.
Oh, yeah?
Like, the booth babes couldn't keep their hands off of it. That's how good it was.
It must be something special, because it just seemed like all over the damn internet, that's all I'm hearing about is Resident Evil 4, which I don't understand. It takes place 6 years after the whole Raccoon City thing, which was like 1 through 3, you know, right. Or 0 through...
Yeah, it's all true 3D now, instead of having, like, before where you just had, like some horrific, like, pick a scene you'd walk into, wander around, and, you know...
Yeah, the camera's actually behind you this time, and...
Which is cool.
Which is, yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
Those still seems just we're not doing it anymore.
That's the whole reason I couldn't stand any of the others.
Yeah, I didn't like the controls either of that one. That was my biggest complaint with the damn controls. But I hear now you have like a manual aiming system, so you're able to like control it. Rather than before where like, you had like targets, you could actually control the aiming. And this is supposed to be much more action oriented, which I think this is what makes me actually want to play this. I do not care for any of the other Resident Evil games much at all, but this one, if this is more like an action game, I had a blast playing that secret, or not secret thing, but whatever it was, after you beat Resident Evil 3, you got to open up some kind of, like, commando mode, where it was like, you played some other dudes, and you stormed through the city, just blowing crap up everywhere. That was so much fun to me, but the controls were bad, because they were so Resident Evil controls.
Right.
And I thought, man, this game would be fantastic if this was it with a little bit better controls. It sounds like that's a lot of what they're doing here. But Resident Evil is Raccoon City. Resident Evil is Umbrella Corporation and the T-Virus and all that garbage. And here they have removed Raccoon City. They've removed... The government has shut down and broken up all parts and removed Umbrella Corporation from the scene. So now we have a generic survival horror action game with the Resident Evil name on it.
Right.
So, whatever. We'll see. I don't know. At least
the graphics
did look
really good.
They did. They looked
spectacular. Well, I would get a little thicker Raccoon City, honestly.
Call it something else, then.
Yeah.
Call it friggin', you know, anything other than, you know, just because of the marketing, calling it Resident Evil. They should have another name for it, you know, if it's a different game. You know, but, you know, I'm sure they're going to find some kind of tweaky way to tie it in now.
Yeah.
Like the screenshots, they did look great, but they were out in some village or something, and the villagers were zombies or some crap again. So, I don't know, I'm sure they're going to find a way. Oh, it leaked through the water system, wound up in Africa, we had to fly down there, you know, whatever. Guilty Gear. I don't know if you guys have ever played this, because I don't think you guys, either one of you, are too big on fighting games.
Not really.
Guilty Gear?
I've seen it, though.
Okay, so, yeah, you know what it is, another 2D... just over the top, lots of crazy bullshit happening. I the Japanese word, it's Guilty Gear Isuka? Isuka, probably? Isuka. And I don't know, it sounds all right. I like the Guilty Gear series a bit, not as much as I like, say, Street Fighter.
Is that the one where one of the chicks, like, attacks with her hair? She's got, like, a...
Yeah, that's the chick that I play.
Yeah, okay.
Tear shit up with that bitch. There's three, they added three new characters, and they added a four-player battle mode system, and there's a front and back to the arenas. So you can, like, jump into the background, dodge some attacks and stuff. That's kind of cool. I never cared for it too much. The big things that they added were those and two other things, a color edit mode. Whoop-de-freaking-do. I never got into editing the colors on my character. You can do it in all
these... You can change the color of your hair,
yeah,
or your pants or something.
Yeah. Great. Every other game has had this for years. So I don't know why they're making such a big deal about it. And something called Guilty Gear Boost Mode, which is, I think, the biggest thing of this, along with the four-player battle mode, I believe. It's just like a side-scrolling action game, which you can, you know, I guess you play your character, whichever one I guess you like. And it's I guess you just beat the crap out of people as you go along, and you earn points to buy new moves, which allow you to customize your character a little bit, which I think is really cool. I love being able to put in whatever moves you want, you know, to do different things.
Right.
That's really neat. Customization is always a very good thing. Did you see, when you were down there, Donkey Konga?
No, I didn't.
Did you see Donkey Kong Jungle Beat? Okay, Donkey Konga, for everybody who doesn't know, is like some kind of... What's the Samba de Amigo and Parappa the Rapper?
Oh, okay.
It's like one of these music games, except for your controller is a freaking congos. They're like drums you beat on.
The game comes with a controller?
I imagine, yeah. It's like big plastic bongo drums. Beat on them and that's how you play the game. But that's like a music-oriented one. And it looks like using that same controller, they've got a platformer coming out, a 2D side-scrolling platformer called Donkey Kong Jungle Beat, which, believe it or not, the graphics on this look just spectacular, and it looked very fun. I just don't know about the controls. Man, how the hell are you going to use that to control Donkey Kong running around, you know? I don't know.
With
bongo drums, yeah. Right. What did I say? Congo drums? Yeah, bongo drums. You're going to be able to beat on them to control the character. It's a new way to play the game, which is kind of cool. I'll give him credit for that, but
yeah.
I'm very comfortable with my Xbox controller, you know? And so, I don't know. Yeah, whatever. It actually looks fun, though. Another one that we know is probably a shoo-in for a must-buy, Sly Cooper 2, Band of Thieves.
The first one was awesome.
And I'm dying to play it. I keep hearing about it, and it just seems like right up my alley. All that sneaky, weird shit like that.
I love that. The bunch of cutesy animals
running around. I heard fantastic things. I just heard it was short, but whatever.
It is short.
It's fun. That's all that matters. And it looks like they didn't change a whole lot in this either. It looks like it's more of the same, which is, you know, hey, not bad. If it was a fun game and too short, everybody's going to want more anyway.
That's right.
But one thing that I did see about it was that you're going to have... Now, did you have... Maybe I'll ask you first. Access to other guys in your Band of Thieves...
No.
You only played Sly?
They all had places in the game. Like, there's a place where the big hippo's running, and you have a gun, you gotta shoot down the guys that are trying to get the hippo, and he's the getaway driver. So when you did play him in a couple racing levels.
Oh, okay. Well,
you're technically him, but you were just racing us.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know how much of this was new, but from what I saw, it reminded me of Lost Vikings, because one of the things they said was you have to utilize the whole band to get through parts of the level, like where there would be just a part where you couldn't progress until one of your buddies, you know, was able to change something in the level 4 Sly, and right. Which I guess you would have to play him and go use him for a while. It sounds really cool, because that is a lot of fun.
And there is one place where you use the turtle guy, too, in the way, and...
Does it affect the level, though,
no.
Or is it the whole level? That's the whole level in and of itself.
And it's very different. It's very different than what they're describing.
Sounds like this you use all in the same level or in some way directly to affect your progress of Sly, at least. Which sounds really cool. Mm. Now, this one blew my freaking mind. This right here, Ode, this is a reason, I think, to buy a PS2 again. You still there?
Yeah.
All right.
But this time I promise not to mod it.
Tales of Symphonia.
Okay.
I
thought this was a GameCube game.
Oh, God damn it! I'm out of my freaking mind. What the hell? I even wrote down... Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's a GameCube game. For 100... Oh, Jesus Christ. I can't believe I did that. I knew that. And yet wrote it down as a PlayStation 2 game, because I assume the PS2 gets all these wacky, RPG games. Yeah, sorry, GameCube game. Supposedly coming out in July.
This game looks fantastic.
It does look badass, doesn't it?
Oh.
This is a cel-shaded 3D role-playing game, okay? But it looks very reminiscent of all of our favorite 2D role-playing games. You know, it doesn't seem like...
Visually.
Yeah, it definitely feels like that, I think, when you're playing it. Still with the 3D elements, though. You know, you're going to be able to walk around off into the distance and whatnot. And,
it also looks a lot better than a Super Nintendo could ever dream of.
Oh, yeah. Too. Oh, yeah. God damn, it looks spectacular. What were we looking at that you... At first saw the dragon. Was it a dragon or some kind of a... Looked like Godzilla to me for some reason.
Yeah, I think it was a dragon.
Was it a dragon? That looked really good. And all the characters have that really happy anime, smiley, teenage look.
Effects are just awesome.
Oh, it looked, awesome. Just looks fantastic. And I don't know if you read this anywhere in there, but it's supposed to have a lot of puzzle stuff in the dungeons themselves. Which to me is just spectacular, because that's one of the things that I always see missing from these games, and why I keep playing Zelda games, because Zelda makes you think when you're playing. This is supposed to have a ton of puzzles in it, and I don't mean, okay, you gotta walk to the far side and pick up a key to walk to the opposite side and open the fucking door. They're gonna have puzzles of getting through the damn thing, which is just, I think that's spectacular. More games need to...
There's always a place for games to turn off the brain and just mindlessly smash buttons, but at the same token, There's always a place.
When you spend a half an hour trying to figure out how to get up a flight of stairs, which is four boxes and a torch and some bubble gum, that's the shit, you know? That is just awesome. Or you know, you see something, you got to reach on another side of the level, it's like, oh, crap, how do I get over there? Mm-hmm. You know, and then you got to go through all this ridiculous crap, up 10 flights of stairs, down three, you know, it's just so cool. You know,
definitely the best part about Zelda.
Yeah, you know, exactly. You know, I mean, it's not walking around poking the same enemies which reappear after you zone three screens over and come back.
Yeah.
It's definitely the puzzle. They're supposed to have a ton of that kind of stuff in this. Lots of cutscenes, lots of animated out cutscenes, you know, which looks, I mean, they're just spectacular. Top notch art. The voice acting though,
that is a little beat.
Yeah, and I pray that they allow us to use the Japanese voices. Usually, I am not a big fan of that. Usually, I prefer American voices, but I'm talking about a movie. I'm talking about a movie, usually.
Right.
I like to be able to hear a movie when I'm trying to watch it. I don't want to have to read a movie when I'm trying to watch it, because I can't look at the graphics on the screen, what's going on. I'm reading. I'm only seeing the text. So I hope that I can switch to, like, the Japanese, because in a game, I find myself reading it more so I can follow it better for some reason, because I have to push the button to advance it usually, too, so I have as much time as I need to read the crazy, bad translated sentence and understand it, right?
Well, and we're used to reading RPGs.
I think so, too, which is why I just kind
of... It's almost weird to hear them.
It kind of freaks me out, yeah. So that's why I don't really want to pay attention. That's what's the cool thing about Disgaea and Lost Lucelle, is that you can use a Japanese audio, you know, and read the crap, which sounds much better.
It's a GameCube game. The disc is this big. I would not bet on having two audio tracks on it.
Possibly. Yeah, that's true. I mean,
they probably don't have the space to deal with that.
Probably not. That's a good point. I'd be pretty bummed, though. But also, the Japanese version has some slowdown issues. The U.S. version isn't finalized yet, but there is a demo here, and that's what all the videos are coming from. They said it didn't have that problem. But keep in mind, it's not done yet, so it might develop some problems later on when they add more. And I don't know if they can add more. It just looks so fancy. It looks so cool. The battle scenes really blew my mind, because I cannot say... You're playing something like Final Fantasy 1, and the battles are so boring that most of the time you're just, like, pressing the button just a quick attack to kill the shit, you know? That is all fine and dandy once in a while. But, like, have you ever played something like Grandia? That game has. Oh, did you ever play Grandia?
Yeah, I had Grandia, too.
Dude, what did you think? Yeah, that's right. What did you think of the combat system?
I thought it was good.
Dude, it was good.
Everything else in the game was pretty monotonous, but the combat was good.
Yeah, I thought it was a great game, but that all aside... The combat system, I thought, was spectacular. One of the if not the best role-playing game combat system I've ever seen. I mean, seriously, it was that great. It was just fantastic. It didn't give you the feeling that you were using menus and stuff to control your guys and to watch their stupid attack animations, because they were running around the field, and depending on your location, it would change what you could and could not reach and do and how far you could go, and, you know, wow, and you really had to pay attention. If I want to use an area of effect spell, is this guy too far away?
Right.
You know, it's like it wasn't just, well, yeah, so I shoot it on this enemy and it blows up everything around it just because we're in the battlefield. No, I ran away last round. I'm too far away. You know, it was just fantastic. This one was just, like, full of action when you were doing the combat scenes.
Yeah.
And the buttons were, like, you know, you have one button for a regular attack, one for, like a tech move, like a special attack, I guess, one to pull up a menu to look at your items or something, and one for, like, healing abilities or some shit. A couple different people in your party. I don't know. It looks spectacular. The graphics look beautiful. The animation, the art on the characters, top-notch.
Incredible.
Yeah. This, don't even consider buying it. Just go out and pre-order it right now. Seriously, this looks that good. All right. What was the other one? Bait and Kados or whatever the hell that's called?
That looked okay.
I don't know about that at all. I don't think it looks that great. I don't see what everybody's getting all hyped up about.
I'm not quite sure about the battle system, though. That looked kind of freaky.
And my neighbors are having a UFC up there. Ultimate Fighting Championship going on. Jesus. I wonder if that's picking up on the microphone. Either way.
I kind of like the style of the world, though.
See, I didn't care for that either.
No?
And I see a lot of people getting all hyped up, and they get going over this, and they're blood pumping. I don't see why. I don't think it looked that good. The graphics didn't look spectacular. The world didn't look amazing. The story didn't sound so hot. The
graphics
didn't look great.
Not anything like that.
Is it because it's Japanese?
Probably.
Just because it's from Japan doesn't mean it's good. Right? It doesn't... I don't know. Maybe there's something I'm missing. I'm going to have to watch more videos. So I'm going to get chewed on over this. And you know who's going to do it? Modem. Because he's one of the champions of this game right now. He's just like, this game is the shit. I don't know. He's going to send me a bunch of links and hopefully videos and hopefully screenshots. Are you listening? And because I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, change his mind.
I guess. What the hell am I not seeing in this game that makes it so cool?
don't know. It seemed like it was alright to me. It's nothing like Tales of Symphonia.
No, like, this game looks like it's just... Fuck everything else. I want to play Tales of Symphonia now. I'll say he was 100% correct about that one, though. Oh, here's another one. Oh, I know you liked... Remember, hell, the whole world liked it. The Legend of Zelda, oh, Jesus Christ. The third one. Time one. A Link to the Past. A Link to the Past. Remember A Link to the Past on the Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
Check this out.
I replayed it on the Game Boy.
On the Game Boy, right? Yeah, it was still a blast, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it was still more of the same. Nintendo gave us that four person crap. Four swords. Yeah, and they had
nobody played. Yeah.
I actually played it all the way through on the Game Boy with Wolf, and it was like a 3 or 4 hour thing, and it was pretty lame and way too easy. They're coming out with one for the GameCube, but it's like the same graphics, and it's like, well, you know, but a little bit bigger. And it's like its emphasis is on like the four player puzzle solving. Which is just, I don't know, I like to play this crap by myself, right? Mm-hmm. Check this out. For the Game Boy Advance, Legend of Zelda, the Minish Cap. This is Link's hat that he wears, I guess, because all the screenshots had his same hat, but they said it looks like it runs the story for him. Hey, I like, what the hell is her name? Navi or some shit? Yeah. I dug her voice.
That's what I get the idea from. It's a Navi, though.
Yeah, kind of pops out and tells you, you know, hey, have you checked this part? How you go over here and check it out. But it looks, it's like... the graphics style they used is like Wind Waker, but 2D. Which, if you ask me, is so much better than Wind Waker 3D. They're going to use the very kiddie, childish-looking Link from Wind Waker. But it's a 2D Game Boy Advance game, so expect...
The world looks like Link to the Past.
Yeah, but they are all new graphics stuff. They didn't use the same graphics from A Link to the Past. They used more of the Wind Waker style look to it. Not full of water from everything I saw, by the way.
Yeah, but nobody likes that style, so why are they using it?
Well, on a Game Boy, it seems to make a little more sense, and it's 2D.
Oh.
So you're not going to notice it as much, you know? You're not going to really notice that Link looks like a
3-year-old?
A cracked out 3-year-old, yeah. You're not going to notice it as much because, you know, it's on a small screen. But I'll tell you what, we watched a video of it, and this looks like the game that I've always wanted to play. Like, this is the sequel to Zelda that I've been waiting for, you know, minus the kick-ass Ocarina of Time. This is what I wanted to play after A Link to the Past.
Yeah.
This was the game, because it's the same style, you know. I'm very excited about this. I didn't even hear about this until Rybo posted it on the forums the other day, and I was like, holy crap. This looks really cool. And then to go find video for it was just amazing. This is another one that I will buy without question because I'm just a sucker for it. I have to play this crap, and I will play and love every minute of it right away. Another one that I'm very enthusiastic about is Silent Hill 4. This one, I remember hearing that they've had to hold back on the first three Silent Hills. They kept saying that they had to hold back because they weren't allowed to go all full bore and grotesque and all that freaky shit they wanted to do. Whatever systems they were on. They didn't want them to go all full-blown gore and freaky. This one's called Silent Hill 4 The Room, and it has a really cool kind of... Rather than being locked in like a giant mansion like you always are or whatever, you know, and you gotta wander around and go kill zombies, and then you find a cave underneath the house and whatnot.
You get out Shark Tank and shit.
You know, yeah. They have you... This is some twisted shit. You're locked in your apartment. Okay, and you don't go outside, I guess, because the front door is all locked up and stuff. And they were saying that, like, you could look outside and see, like, daily shit happening. Like, cars drive by. Mm-hmm. Like, just picture yourself in, like, this dark apartment with crap everywhere. You got shit all over the place. You know, it's just in a rundown place, you know. I always picture myself, like, out in the woods living in, like, a small cabin somewhere, you know. The door all locked up. It's raining outside. I'm looking out the window. I can barely make out shapes. And I see human forms walking by and the occasional car driving by. It really was creeping me out just reading this thing. And some of the crap that you do running around your apartment here, whatever the hell this is, your room, it opens up portals to other places. So, like, you're trapped in your little room. And then you'll find something to do in there. You'll find something that'll lead you off into something weird. Next thing you know, a portal opens up and you can go somewhere. And they mentioned something about going out to a playground. And I don't know about you, but I think playgrounds are always kind of freaky. You know, I always think of like some scary pedophile, freaky, you know.
If done right, playgrounds can be very freaky.
Very, yeah. So I don't know. That was the one thing that I remember hearing about. I don't know. It just seemed like a really cool twist on some of these scary kind of games. Because, I don't know, I like them. There's just not that many of them that are very good, in my opinion, you know. We have Resident Evil, but I don't think it's all that. A lot of crap out there. Silent Hill's always been pretty good. Alone in the Dark's always been pretty good. But Silent Hill, been pretty freaky. If they're going full bore now...
What was that one game where you're a little girl and you can't attack, you can just run away?
You can take pictures?
Maybe.
Oh, that was Alone in the Dark, right?
No, that was... Oh, wait, yeah, probably.
No, I... I want to say Clock Tower, but I don't think that was it.
No, that's the one where you take pictures, isn't it?
Maybe.
One of these you take pictures in, and I can't remember what the hell one it was. It was for the Xbox, too, whatever that.
Well, there was one, I can't remember the name of it, but there was one where the whole thing is you run away. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, hell if I don't know. I probably didn't play it. Whatever. There's so many of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to remember all the names of these games. And check this out. Do you guys remember Conker?
Yeah.
Remember Conker's Bad Fur Day on the Nintendo 64?
Yeah.
Did you see Conker Live and Uncut for the Xbox there?
No.
No? Well, apparently it was there. And they made it more of like a team-based shooter, from what I understand, rather than like a single-player, you know, platformer, which is kind of a bummer. I don't know if there's going to be a whole thing in there, too. I have no idea, because I could not find information saying there was going to be a single-player part of this game. It just said it was a team-based shooter online, focusing on puzzles and blowing other little furry creatures up. So, I don't know, I used to play the one on the Nintendo 64 multiplayer. Wait, was that game? Where you had like a caveman dude? Maybe it had to be that game. You could piss on things. You could do all kinds of weird stuff. And the single player game was what the fun was, though. That's where I had the most fun. Maybe it wasn't that game. I was thinking of something else. Anyway, Conker. You could do, I mean, it was a really cool game for the Nintendo 64. It was kind of weird because you had like this squirrel that loved to drink. You got him to get drunk, you know, he woke up with like a hangover. That was like the whole thing for the first one. And they're actually going to have an uncensored, uncut version of Conker's Bad Fur Day on this disc for the Xbox. Yeah, that's going to be, I mean, oh man, it was just so cool. I mean, you had the shit demon, you know, I mean, you're running around pissing on things. It was just kind of neat to see what happens when somebody just goes all out on corniness and, you know, try to be as vulgar as they could, you know, and
the industry would allow at the time.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It seemed pretty cool. I have no idea what the hell's going on with this Xbox version, though, other than a nice team-based shooter focuses on some teamwork crap and blowing little furry animals up. Whatever. Damn, why can't I remember what the hell game... It had to have been Conker that I was playing multiplayer. We had, like, this... Maybe... Because you had, like, crazy guns, and you had, like, a sword that you can cut people in half with, like, real easy. It had to have been Conker. Hunter and I played the crap out of that at work. And the rest of the games, I actually don't have anything written down, but we gotta mention them because they're big name things. Full Spectrum Warrior for the Xbox. Plays on Xbox Live, another one of those, like, military combat, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I've seen the video, and it looks spectacular. It just looks freaking amazing for another one of these, you know, squad-based military games.
Yeah.
This one actually looks a lot like, the graphics are top-notch, just like Rainbow Six 3. But for some reason, I don't know if it looks better or worse. It probably is just about the same, but it still looks just amazing. Something to keep your eyes out for if you like those kind of games. Final Fantasy XII. This is another big one for all the Final Fantasy heads out there, you know. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've always been a huge Final Fantasy fan, but I started...
There's a comic, you know, there's a comic you guys got to read about that. The real-life comic, Greg Dean did a really funny one on that.
On Final Fantasy XII?
On Final Fantasy XII, the combat system. You probably just go to his site, go back a couple of days, he's got it on there.
Uh-huh.
It's basically, you know, he was doing a rebuttal to all the people that criticized that, you know, using the new combat system versus the old one. He says, let's first look at what we're leaving behind. And he does, like, this reenactment of it, and he says, wow, do you feel the immersiveness here? It's pretty funny. You gotta check it out.
Huh. What did they change in the combat system? Do you know?
It's basically, they made it just like Final Fantasy XI. Run around randomly and kill shit.
We were just talking about that, though, and because I've been playing Lunar on my Game Boy lately, right?
Yeah.
And I noticed that when I'm in a part, you know, when I'm running around, and I'm and I'm out in the forest, and I'm killing shit, and I'm in a fight, is what I actually was going for. The creature will just attack the mage guy, right? And it's like, I just got in combat, my like main guy will hit it, and then they'll go off and attack the mage guy, and my first thought was, why in the hell would they attack the mage guy who hasn't done anything yet? Why don't they just input a hate system like that, which would allow a lot more control and a lot more, you know, interesting dynamic to our fights in these role-playing games, rather than just pick an enemy, hit attack, and watch your guy do it? That's really cool. That's, holy crap, I might have some kind of random interest in a Final Fantasy. Oh, no. Jesus Christ. The world is coming falling apart now. Halo 2, whatever. Gradius 5. Everybody remember Gradius, like, R-Type. Back in the, you know, big shmups days with the shoot-em-up games, you know, back when a lot of those were coming out and they were really, really popular. They're still fantastic games. I don't know why they're just not as many. Gradius 5 is going, like, it's 3D, but it's still maintaining that nice 2D look to it, though, where you're still, like, cruising on the side and whatnot, at least for the screenshots I saw. Over-the-top graphics and effects. Just beautiful effects, and just way immersive environments, as fat as it can be. And I really am supporting stuff like this. I think it looks fantastic. You got Gradius 5, we've got R-Type Final, Shattered Soul, Shattered Soldier, and what's the Bonk one? Bonk's Adventure, the remake of that. Again, it's like, they just took the 3D aspect of it, made it, you know, so we only see the 2D of it, though, and it comes out spectacular. And I think it's, how much better would Sonic have been like that than like it was? Sonic Adventure? I couldn't stand that fucking game, but it would have been just amazing if they just made it 2D, you know, but like 3D enough where you can still run around like a nice world like Mario.
Yeah, see, I agree with you that it's kind of sad that, well, until recently they did just threw out the old way of gaming.
Yeah, that's true.
And
because we did see stuff just, and even Mario was still all, you know, there was no 2D element there at all. Yeah. Yet I would find myself spinning the camera to a 2D look of it a lot of the time, you know, which was really cool for me. But you're right, for the most part, look at any recent game, and they're all full bore 3D, you know?
And it's good that they're starting to bring it back a little bit with what we have.
Up a little.
With the new technological advances we have. Like Tales of Symphonia.
Yeah.
It looks a lot like an old-style RPG, but they've used the graphical ability
to improve it. This looks amazing. I'm really happy about that. I think all the games I'm going to buy in the near future are going to end up being like old-style-looking games with new technology. I'm just not happy with the way they took 3D here. You know, even you know what another one they could have saved, in my opinion, was that the army is in Maximo. Maximo. I couldn't stand it 3D, but I'm thinking to myself, God, that would be great if they made it more 2D-ish. Would have been such a freaking cool game. That was big camera issues for me, though. Anyway, Beautiful Joe 2. Now, what the hell did you read about this one? You're soft.
Very little, except for the fact that there appears to be a second playable character, a chick.
Is it his girlfriend or something?
I guess. I don't know. But she's carrying pom-poms.
I don't know. It sounds right up your alley, though. Just weird, crazy shit. I don't know. That should be pretty interesting, though, because Beautiful Joe 1 is just huge. Just
good game.
Freaking huge. Metroid Prime 2 Echoes. This is interesting because I was thinking to myself, what are they going to do? Put us back out there again, fighting these Metroids and crap on another planet somewhere or the same planet. You know, how are they going to make it more interesting? How are they going to take it from more of the same? Like, I imagine something like Halo to be. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, Halo 2 is going to be more of the same.
Right?
How are they going to make Metroid Prime 2 stand out? This has, like, a light and dark world twist to it. And when you're out in the dark world, they were saying that you had to stay in, like, areas of the light because, like, it's like poison in the dark and shit. That should add a neat, like, puzzle element to it. You know, maybe you can clear out parts of the level and maybe, I don't know, open an air vent or some shit and clear out some of the dark or whatever, which will allow you to access other parts of the level. Should be pretty cool. I don't know. The first one was just incredible. I don't see how they can screw it up if they, you know, stick to the same and add some, you know, really neat, different things to it. One that we're all looking forward to is Star Fox 2.
Yeah, finally.
Finally, yes. Can't wait for this. They kept the four-player battle mode and stuff, too. They had all that in there on the screenshots I saw.
Bring it back.
Yeah.
That Adventures thing was terrible.
That was pretty bad, yeah. The Nintendo 64 one wasn't all that bad. It was just seemed like I blew through it in like 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I was still happy to play it.
I beat it the day I bought it.
I rented it and beat it, so I don't know. But, you know, with today's technology, though, it didn't look so hot on the Nintendo 64. But now, running on a GameCube, I think it looks fantastic. All the graphics, you know, the screenshots I've seen for it look really nice.
Well, hopefully they make it larger, though.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely want a bigger game. I always liked that series. It's always been a lot of fun.
I even beat it on all the different little paths the N64 in one day.
Damn.
One day I just sat down and played the whole thing.
Jeez.
And I was like, whoa, I'm so glad I paid for this.
That sucks.
Hey guys, I gotta run.
Alright, dude. We'll talk to you later.
That was great. Thanks for letting me have me on.
We're almost done in anyway. We got like 10 minutes left, so you almost made it. I'm glad. I was kind of hoping you wouldn't leave in the middle of the show.
Alright, man.
Alright,
hey,
dude.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate
it. Hey, no problem. Anytime. Just let us know. Alright?
Alright.
Peace. Bye. He hadn't said anything in a while. I bet he's getting bored listening to us just talk. He didn't see some of these. And we're almost done anyway. Tony Hawk's Underground 2. I know everybody's sick and I'm sick and tired of Tony Hawk.
I think they should quit beating the dead horse.
I do too. But right. It is coming out and fans of it are going to want to know that there is another one coming out. So.
I'm sure they still get lots of sales and stuff, but I mean, it's, in my opinion.
You know what they need to do to end it? What they need to do, I think, is tie this to online. Okay, so now you can play Tony Hawk's Underground fucking 27 online. And it will play with the PlayStation version and the GameCube version and the Xbox
that
version.
That'll never happen.
And the PC version. It'll never at least happen with the Xbox version, but it possibly could happen with the other ones if they all run off of whoever the hell servers, actually, whoever the hell does this. And gave you an interface to the PC that you could use, or maybe even on the consoles themselves, where you could upload your own maps and crap to the internet, and then gave you like a nice like lobby where you could pick a map and kind of like BattleNet lobby, where you pick a map, you give it a name, and you say, you know, no noobs, fuck you, you know, hardcore only, whatever, real skaters for life.
Then they
you
can
know.
Play. They can play skate.
Yeah.
Or you have to do the same trick.
You know, hop online with your buddies, and they have all that stuff too. But you know, it'd be nice if you could make your own maps and give you a really powerful editor. Though. Not like the. It seems like the ones they give us are. Nah, the editors aren't so hot. You cannot make the fat shit the levels are. But they gave you an editor to make the fat levels that they make. Just end it already.
You could do that with a computer, version. I don't know.
Is it that good? I don't know if it's that good.
No, I mean, you could give them the
version. Okay.
I don't know if you could do it
with the console. Might be pushing it, but I don't know. It would be really cool to see that, though. You'd have all these user-made maps online. If you had the console, if you had the computer version, whatever, you could just hop on, it would download the map, boom, you're ready to go. That would be really cool, I think. And it would just, I'm sick and tired of these damn games. And what they're selling is like, 6 maps and a new move.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're selling every game here. You know, it's like they add a new move and they got 6 different maps. Once in a while, a bonus of including some of the older maps. All right, we have that game too. Whatever. And for the fighting fans, Tekken 5. Now, I was never a fan of Tekken, but I know this game is huge in some circles. So, whatever. You know, that's a big one for the fighting games. I haven't seen too much on it. There was only, I think, a video released of it, so not too much information anyway.
It's also really huge in Japan. I saw a video of a guy playing Tekken on an actual arcade box with one hand.
Damn, just to show off.
Yeah.
Huh?
He's sitting there playing both the stick and the buttons with one hand.
I don't know about all that.
And he was whooping ass, too. It was funny.
Damn, that's some skills there. I don't know. The one I'm looking forward to is the anniversary edition of Street Fighter. They're going to have an Xbox Live capable version for the Xbox, and it's coming out on something else too, probably PlayStation. Anniversary edition, and if I remember right, it's got like different versions, like a lot of the different versions of Street Fighter on there, which is going to be sweet for me, because I like playing some of the older ones, and I think they're supposed to have Third Strike on there too. Whatever, I didn't really care for that one too much, but I'm looking forward to like the old ones, you know, some of the older style of Street Fighter, and to be able to play online. This is the greatest thing in the world for me right here. I mean, I've got a year left of Xbox Live, so or 9 months or 8, 10 months left or something. So I might as well use it. And since I haven't played anything else online in a while on Xbox, definitely looking forward to something like that. This is a challenge to you, Hades. We were talking shit to each other the other day in IRC about that, actually. Because he's a Ken fanboy, that homosexual, and I like Ryu. I always play him. So this should be interesting.
Aren't they the same, except for visually?
No, because see, Ken sucks. And Ryu's the man. So, you know, hey.
Gotcha.
We're going to have it out. We're going to have the Gamer Street Fighter-a-thon one of these days.
I will get my ass beat.
Wolf, I'm sure, will play too. He's not speaking to any of us, but he might play Street Fighter just to play, because I know he loves Street Fighter and likes playing that cheap ass Akuma. That should be pretty fat, though. Can't get enough Street Fighter. Also, where was some of the things that I really wanted to see that I was looking forward to that I dreamed up? Like, a new Killer Instinct. I would love to see a new Killer Instinct.
There hasn't been one of those in a long time.
Yeah, since the Nintendo 64. We had Killer Instinct Gold, and didn't Microsoft buy like 51% of Rare?
Yeah,
that's why they
got
Conker. So use some of the, and they got Imperfect Dark. You know, I didn't really care for that too much, but that's supposed to be a huge one. You know, that's just big. It's a fun game. But I want Killer Instinct. I really, really want a new Killer Instinct. I mean, Soul Calibur was fun, but I just can't put it. I just don't like it that much. I just cannot play it as much as Killer Instinct or Street Fighter for some reason. And something like that would be really nice to see. StarCraft 2. Give us a teaser or something, you know, Blizzard, come on.
I'm sure it's in the works.
Yeah, but they don't want, and they're smart about it. They got Ghost coming and World of Warcraft coming. So they don't want to, you know, throw a third game on the hype machine just yet. They need to have its own thing, I guess, but still. throw us a screenshot, let it leak onto the internet or something, you know?
I'm sure it's quite a while away.
I'm sure it is, too. And they got to let, you know, most of the sales pick up for all their other games.
You don't even know if it's even actually being worked on physically. No, you know it's on the docket.
Yeah. And I bet that's next, if anything.
Yeah.
I bet it's next, if anything. After World of Warcraft and Ghost, we're going to start hearing...
They piggy-hopped between Warcraft and StarCraft before. So.
And Diablo thrown in after that, you know. So, I don't know. Should be a very interesting...
Just don't bring us a Diablo 3.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time.
No. Well, you know, they could do it awesome, though. And it might be really enjoyable.
Yeah, I'd rather them be working on StarCraft, though.
Well, right now. Yeah. But after StarCraft 2, you might be itching for some Diablo. So, seen any movies?
No.
I did watch something, and I can't remember what it is.
I saw Shrek 2.
Oh, Jesus.
It was good. So, if you didn't like Shrek 1, you wouldn't like Shrek 2, though.
Alright. Was it the same crap?
More or less.
Did the animation look any better? I mean, it looked great last time. I just wondered if they improved anything.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. I've seen ads for it all over the place.
It's
so.
Not as good as some of the video game companies are coming out with. But
really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Like Blizzard?
Blizzard and then Square, I guess, came to mind right away for me when I think of crap like that. But top-notch stuff in their games.
Plus,
so.
The people who are doing Shrek, they're doing, like, a two-hour-long thing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the game companies can get, like, half an hour worth of crap, and they can put just as much time and effort into it.
Yeah. Huh. What the hell was the story of Shrek 2?
Well, basically...
I don't even remember the first one.
Basically, the two got married, the princess and Shrek. I can't even think of her name at the moment. But,
the princess is always good enough.
Yeah, they go to... far, far away, which is the princess's town, her kingdom, to meet her parents. And
to meet her parents.
Yeah. And it's like Hollywood when they get there, and there's like Starbucks and other sort of, it was actually pretty funny. And the father's trying to kill Shrek because he had some thing with the fairy godmother.
Because
the fairy godmother wanted her son to marry the princess.
Ah, okay.
And it was just this big thing. It was actually pretty good.
It sounds all right. I mean, the first one wasn't horrible. I didn't hate it. I just didn't care for it.
There was also more adult stuff designed to go straight over the kids'
head. Oh, really?
Yeah. There was plenty in Shrek 1, but there was even more in Shrek 2.
Probably went over my head. You know what it was? I probably wasn't paying attention. Yeah. I was probably playing a game and trying to follow it, and that happens to me a lot. But I'll tell you what, that's just the best rating system for me. If I turn on a movie, start playing a game, I find that it's not that good of a movie if I don't keep watching it. If it's a mind-blowing movie, and if it's something I really actually like, I find myself stop playing the game. I just keep coming back to looking at the movie, so that's like my new scale right there. It's just like, well, I'll try it, and if I don't seem to be too interested, and I try, I'll give it 10 minutes, and I'll look back at the game, and I'll see which one grabs my attention the most, you know? And it's like, you know, that happens a lot. Once in a while, I'll skip over a good one, but very rarely, because the good movies always suck me back in. Like, what did I just watch this week? The Last Samurai. That movie was badass, man. What's that guy's name? Tom Cruise? Did a damn good job in that, I thought, you know? The scenery was just the baddest part to me. Like, when they just show the camera shot, looking down the valley or whatever, and you see mountains and clouds and fucking rice fields and shit or whatever, you know, a bunch of greenery and, you know, trees and shit. I just, so cool. It just looks really, really neat. Had a really good story to it, too. Sounds like it. I mean, I don't know. I don't see why anybody would ever watch Troy after all the bad stuff I've heard about it. I've heard so much bad stuff now about that movie, which is weird. I want to go see it anyway, and I guess that's why people are going to watch it, just because they made such a big thing about it.
It's amazing how the rumor mill works, because you get enough hype going for a movie, and even if people hear it sucks afterwards, they're still gonna go just because. Well, I wanted to see it, so I might as well go see it.
The Passion of Christ. I want to see it simply because I've heard so much about it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not religious. I don't believe in that whole malarkey. I don't, you know, all whatever. Half the people are saying it was a decent movie. I keep hearing it was a decent movie, but then I hear, oh no, this was absolutely nothing like how it was though. Like in the same sentence though, it was a decent movie. Like as far as like, let's just say a movie, if it was all based on, oh crap, there's no way I can construct this sentence correctly. If it was all based on fiction, which it is, but people believe it's based on fact, which it isn't, it would be a decent movie. Which is why I think it's going to be a decent movie. It's bullshit. Okay? This is why I think it can't be that bad. And seriously, the main reason, the number one reason I want to go see this movie, absolutely, just from, what was I watching? South Park, the one where they were making fun of it? Which they did a horrible episode, by the way, I thought.
You don't like that one?
I thought it was fucking stupid, yeah. I thought it was dumb. But they showed, remember they did a scene where it was like they were showing part of, like, it was like animated, but it was like the Passion of Christ or whatever, but it was like animated. The music that played there is the kind of stuff that I like to listen to a lot of the time. Like, I don't just listen to all this other stuff you hear, you know, on some radio stations and, you know, whatever. There's a lot of stuff I listen to that's very mellow and very, like...
cool background, like, music.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. You know, something like that. Like, I can't think of a good way to describe it. Like, I keep... Everybody that hears it tells me it sounds like Indian music. It's not like Native American Indian, but like Indian music. You know, like it sounds like it's from something like I don't know why, but I really dig it. I just dig it. And anyway,
like the guitars and stuff.
Yeah, and they had that in that scene, though. I thought, and it was weird because I heard it. And I'm like, wow, that sounds cool, you know. And then it's like, I ran into somebody else who said that the music was like that throughout the movie, and she said, based on what she's heard me listen to, that I would like it anyway. So I can see me totally buying the soundtrack to this movie, just check it out. So it might be worth it for the soundtrack for a lot of people if you're into that weird stuff, but I get made fun of 90% of the time for listening to that kind of stuff. So fuck you all, we're out.
Because I'm old, 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 I